I'm Christy Grainer with Dare to Believe Ministries, and I am so glad to be beginning our fourth session with Donna Da Silva. Thanks for being here, Donna. And again, this is Dare to Believe Ministries. You can contact us at dtbmn.org, and you can find Donna at Donna, D-A-W-N-A, Da Silva, .org.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somehow they'll get me.
They'll get you. And just Google her. She's all over the place. You'll find her.
Yeah.
So we're glad to be talking again. And what we mentioned the time as we ended last time was that Donna has been kind of having a new revelation stirring up in her. I believe it's going to be a book coming out in the future, but I want to tell them what God's doing in you and what he's stretching and growing in you these days.
Yeah, so I had my knee replaced this last year, which was discouraging for me. I've prayed for people to have their knees healed, and they've been healed, and I ended up having a full knee replacement. So, you know, I've had some time off to think about life and just to see, you know, where you got in this situation for me. And one of the things I did during this season is I went and was celebrating some of the younger women in our ministry at Bethel Church, and Libby Gordon was teaching the women on a talk she did, and I was listening to her, and she is infectious with her love of Jesus. Just, she grew up a Christian, I did not, and she was talking about how she would read the Bible, and then she would just believe it. You know, what a surprise, right? You read the Bible, you believe it, and she would actually go out and just see what happened as a kid. And so miracles happen in his story, and so she'd be like, okay, well, let's pray for the sick, and people would get healed, and you know, they'd get healed. And she'd be like, it's so cool because you're in his story. And she was telling one of the things that I'm not sure, you know, exactly what she said, but she was talking about, she read about feeding the 5,000, and she realized there's people at school that aren't eating at lunch. And she says they pretend like they're not hungry, but they probably just don't have food. So she went back to school and she told her friends, okay, this is what we're going to do, because in the Bible, everyone gets fed. So she said, empty out your lunch boxes and then invite the people that aren't eating to come sit at the table. And she said, and everyone would get fed. Everybody would have enough. And she just was infectious about, because it's his story. And I realized when she said that, I heard my brain say, when I get this, it'll change everything.
And it's infectious because it's his story.
It's his story. Yeah. And she just had this childlike wonder, and she's not a child anymore, but this childlike wonder of his story, you know, and a lot of Christians grow up with, it's like, you know, that Charlie Brown teacher, like rah, rah, rah. And you don't pay attention that actually it is a living, active story, right? It's not just about what he did. It's about what he does.
And who he is.
And who he is. Mm-hmm. And his nature didn't change when he passed away, when he went to heaven. It didn't change. His nature is still alive and active. And so I really realized, okay. And the conviction on my heart was, you know, God has been in my story a long time. And he's been the hero in my story. It's not been Donna's the hero, but it's like, you know, God, the hero, comes into the story. But actually, it's been my story. And really having the time to pay attention with my knee operated on, and it's not fun to have a joint replaced, especially your knees. It's painful. It hurts. You're on medication, so you're not thinking straight as well. And I was like, you know,
and yours went, it was a little extra tough.
Pain was tough, but the surgery was perfect. The doctor's like, what's your problem? It works. It works awesome. It works great. But I was in so much pain. And, you know, six weeks later, I'm sobbing, saying, when does it hurt less than before surgery? Right. And I hadn't found that yet. And he's like, oh, that's not normal. I'm like, no, it's not. And I'm not a wimp. You know, it's like, I don't think I am. And I'd hear stories of people that had it done, and 2 weeks later, they don't have any medication, they're doing fine. And I'm just like, shut up, just shut up. But all of that was kind of also realizing that, oh, this is my story. And I'm mad at God because he's not rescuing me in my story like I expect him to. And when I heard this, I was like, what would it be like for me to actually be in his story? I don't know if that makes sense to you. It was like,
it's a paradigm shift though.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's like, what does that look like? Well, my son and his wife are actors and actresses and writers, and they've got, you know, some film stuff out. But I remember one time my daughter-in-law called us. She was so excited. She's like, I can't tell you the film I'm in. She had to write a confidentiality thing because she's like, I'm an extra in this film. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, I'm so excited. I'm getting paid to be in the bleachers in this thing. I'm like, okay. And she said, and I wore what they told us to wear. And so they kept moving her closer and closer to the edge because she was wearing the right clothing. And I'm like, okay, she's all excited. And when it finally came out, she's in this scene where she's in the bleachers with all these extras, and this main actor, A-list actor, is walking down, and she's like, there I am. And we pause it, we zoom in, and there is the back of my gorgeous daughter-in-law. And no one would know it's her but us. And she was so excited to be in his story.
Even though she's pretty much anonymous, she knew she was there.
No, she knew. She played a part. And I thought, could I be as excited in his story to be background where nobody knows I'm there, and yet I know that I'm playing the right role in his story?
And you know what's interesting is she wore what she was asked to wear, and it caused her to be closer. It's like when we learn to be ourselves, we are wearing what the Lord tells us to wear. We are who he says we are. We learn to be who we are, were created to be. Mm-hmm. It draws us closer to exposure to him. Yeah.
Yeah, it That's was just, it just rocked my world. And so from there, I started asking the Lord, like a brand new Christian, you know, it's like, okay, God, what do you want to tell me today? I mean, I've been with the Holy Spirit a long time. I believe I've housed him well. You know, I lean into him. I follow him.
You have very good fruit in your life.
Fruit in my life. And yet he's been in my story. He's been the hero, but he's been in my story.
And especially in these hard times, like what you went through with your knee.
Right. It's just like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Whose story is this?
Whose story is this? And we can get so caught up in our story and the answer we want in our story that we miss the picture that actually we're in his. And so I started asking the Lord, well, what's my role in your story? And in the middle of this, in the middle of all the pain and the drugs I was on, you know, legal drugs that I was on, pain meds, I asked the Lord, Lord, what's my role in your story today? And he literally said to be kind. And I kind of was discouraged. I'm like, okay, God, I'm about to have to go into my bank. They really take forever at this bank. My leg hurts. I'm going to have to be standing. But he said to be kind. And I'm like, I thought you were going to give me some miraculous role to play. And he literally says to me, sweetie, for you to be kind today at the bank would be miraculous.
Because
I don't feel like it. I'm frustrated. And so I was. I went there. I smiled. And you know what? Because it was my role, I was kind. Mm-hmm. You know, and it took some work, right? I mean, it wasn't natural because I'm hurting. But I was like, this is my role. This is my job.
It also gave you a reason to focus on being kind. Because you knew it was an assignment from him.
It was an assignment.
To be in his
story.
And it's not that God's not in your story. He is still the hero of your story, but more importantly, you are in his story.
That
comes first.
Yeah.
And then how he is manifesting in your story is a byproduct of that, not the other way around.
Not the other way around. And somewhere along the line, I missed it. I mean, when you're first saved, you're in his story. And you're like, life changes and God, what are we doing? But then we mature. And as we mature, I think sometimes we start paying attention to him in our story, and he is in our story, but there's a greater, greater story written than your own.
Right.
Right. And you are circling around other people's stories at the same time, but his is the grand story. And I remember later I was going to teach at a church, and this is after my knee surgery, and I'm excited because I'm going to preach at a church that is attached to Beth, likes, you know, so I'm like, oh, I want to do well, and I want Bill to hear I did a good job. And the night before I went to bed, and I said, Lord, what's my role in your story? And I literally heard broccoli. And I'm like, okay, enemy. And then I'm like, you know, I'm laughing. I'm like, okay, God, you're being funny, because then I heard broccoli, celery, gotta be VeggieTales. And I'm like, okay. And I went to bed laughing. And I thought, well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He's just wanting me to relax. I woke up the next morning. And I said, no, literally, what's my role in your story? I have my sermon, but what's my role? And he said, lettuce. And I'm like, what? And then I heard the word legume, which is French for vegetables. And I remembered the night before we went to a nice expensive steak restaurant, and you had to order the vegetables separate. You know, so it's like, oh, this is a nice restaurant because the vegetables don't come with the steak, right? And the Lord said, you think because you're preaching that you're the filet mignon on the plate, but actually you're the side dish And I just need you to be presented in a way that I taste good.
Oh, that's good. You're accenting who he is.
I'm accenting who he is. It just took all the pressure off. It's like, you know what? I can do that because he is good, because he's a great filet mignon. And I just get to adorn the plate and present it that way. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
That is really cool. And so that's been quite a thing that the Lord's been working in you recently. So, I mean, you're not quite done with it.
No.
You're still digesting it with the Lord.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that is something that we can look forward to, because the Lord has got something to say through your life.
Yeah. And I really felt like cogs were hitting in the wheel. Like, I felt like this is going to change everything for
me.
Like
a missing piece.
A missing piece. Like, it's actually coming in to alignment. And then I was talking with my friend Susan that travels with me a lot, and she said, well, there's another side to that. It's like, when we're in his story, whose story are you going to believe? Because we come with a story. You know, and our story is our past. Our story is our sin. Our story is failure. But in his story, we're redeemed.
Yeah.
Right? In his story,
you have a hope and a future.
There's a hope and a future. Mm-hmm. In his story, anything we've asked for forgiveness for is forgotten. And so it's like, whose story are we going to believe? Are we going to believe what our parents told us we would turn out to be? Are we going to believe what we internally have told ourselves we're going to turn out to be? Or do we believe that, no, in his story, the bar is reestablished and we all have the same ability to attain what
good.
He calls us. So there's a lot that probably will come into a book somewhere down the road, but it is rocking my world, literally.
Right. And learning what his story, what role you play in his story, and how to believe that and how to discern that can be challenging because there's so many voices coming at us. I just believe that there's things wrong with us because we're human and we're flawed and there are things wrong, but we try to figure out our best solution for what's going on with us. What do I do best? If I have a relationship with this person, it's going to change this thing that's wrong with me. If I do this to myself, it's going to change what's wrong with me. If I go to this place or can be with these people, it's going to change what's wrong with me. And we don't really know how to change what's wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something wrong because there's something broken in humanity. And the only one who can help us with that solution of what's wrong with us and what we need is the one who created us.
Yeah.
And he has this, not just understands our issues, our problems, our brokenness, but he has a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the only place we can get that answer. And that's who he says we are in his story.
In his story. And, and I love, that's one of the things I love about SOZO, the Inner Healing Deliverance Ministry that we are part of. Because it's connecting you to Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, right? And so the Spirit of the Lord is there, and Jesus is there, and Father God is there, because I have found that one word from the Father can change everything.
Yeah.
Anything you've believed about yourself, when the Father shows up and tells you truth, it just shifts that internal core inside. It's like, no, that's actually who I am.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. And I'm sure this is resonating with some of you that are listening. And so we're going to have Donna pray for you. But I also want to encourage you to go to a place that knows how to help you understand God's story for you. And that would be someone who, that would be a church, a ministry, a group of people who understand how to hear the voice of God, something that's grounded in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Find some people that can help you understand that, because you've done the best you can, and it's really good. And I try really hard myself. I understand what this is, to do the best I know how. And I can hear from the Lord, and I pray, and I am in the Word. But sometimes the body of Christ is the only place I can get that missing piece that I need in order to be more of who I was created to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So will you pray for our listeners, Donna, for those that are being stirred by this a bit?
Yeah, I don't know if I imparted that quickly enough, but this literally is rocking my world. I almost feel like I'm a brand new Christian again. I know truth. I know the Word of God. I've read it over and over and over since I was 19. And I'm just rocked at the fact of what exactly am I doing today for my role. I remember the other day the Lord said to be a friend. And so I went to lunch with a friend, and it was like, don't be distracted, just be a friend. Don't fix her. Don't, you know, just love her, just listen to her, hear her heart. And I'm a fixer. So when he said to be a friend, I thought, okay, I'm just going to listen, and I'm going to encourage, but I'm not fixing her. I'm just going to come alongside to weep with her because it was bad news again about her husband's health. And so it is rocking me. It's like I'm learning how to be in a different role in each situation.
And it appears that it's bringing you some deep peace.
It is bringing me peace, and yet an unsureness in before he gives me my assignment for the day, I'm not really sure. I know I'll mature past that and I'll just know my role in different places is following the Holy Spirit, which I've always been good at.
Yeah,
it's been good at. Well, not always, but since.
But it's at a deeper level.
It's a deeper level. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, there's pressure's off. And even my prayers have changed because it's not about I need you to do this in my story. I mean, to be honest, I'm discouraged that I have a fake knee. Literally, I don't like the fact that I have metal in my knee. I don't like the fact that I go through the airports all the time and I'm setting off alarms.
And you're from Bethel where people get
healed. And I'm from Bethel where people get healed. And I've prayed for people and they've been healed. But that's my story. But in his story, there's a reason why he allowed that. Right. And so to be able to let go of offense, to let go of anger, like, God, why didn't you heal me? No, that's not the right answer, the right question. It doesn't lead to the right answers. It's like, okay, Lord, this is where I'm walking through. You know, when before we started, he told me my grace is sufficient. And I'm like, well, Paul heard that when he had asked to get his eyes healed. And the Lord said, but my grace is sufficient. And I'm like, oh, I didn't want to hear that. Lord, that means you're not going to...
Not the right answer.
Not the right answer in my story. and yet, you know, if to be angry about that doesn't lead me to walking out profitably, correctly, with my fake knee, right? It's like, no, I need to hear. And so for him, it's like, I don't know why, but in his story, this is where I walked.
You know, there's a lot of times we'll get discussions because we pray for healing a lot at Dare to Believe. And people wonder, does that mean I don't go to the doctor? Does that mean I don't take the medicine my doctor? Absolutely not. The Lord is not in a anti-medicine mode. He created those people who are doctors and physicians and nurses and medical people. He created those people. So there's a partnership there that's hard for the body of Christ to get a balance for, because yes, God heals miraculously. Mm-hmm. Yes. And yes, he heals through the medical community. It's not an either or always.
No.
And you're an example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that I'm an example of that.
I know. But, yeah. I'm
but
sure
I
you
am
don't.
An example of that. And so to be at peace with the fact that, well, this is the path that I needed to take. And when he said my grace is sufficient for me, it really meant something different than my grace is sufficient and it covers that you're not going to heal. It was like, Donna, you know, I believe in inner healing. I believe in curses. I believe in, you know, all of the breaking those. It was like the Lord saying, Donna, you don't have a door to sin in your life. You don't have a generational curse to break off. My grace is sufficient. And I really felt like he was giving me peace to say, okay, I've done all that I can do. And now it's the doctor's job. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to feel like on the other side of this, oh, if I'd prayed one prayer differently, he would have healed me.
Yeah, there's no shame.
There was no shame in it.
And that's important that there be no shame.
Right. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, so in his story, this is what we're doing. And he's with me in this story. I'm with him. I saw a meme the other day, you know, where Jesus is, you know, footprints next to you on the sand. And then there's just one set of prints and you think he abandoned you. And he's like, well, that's when I carried you. And then the meme is like this place in the sand that looks like a shovel went through. And he's like, you know, this is where we walked together. This is where I carried you. And this is where you went through with me kicking and screaming and I drug you along. And I think I kind of got drug along in this surgery, waiting for it. So I just want to release over you. I just want to break off discouragement. And the tension with this is not to not go after healing.
Exactly.
Because that's I believe 100% in healing. But the tension is, I'm in his story, and in his story, for some reason, he's not going to heal me this way, but the other way. No. You have to go with what he tells you specifically, because in his story, miracles happen. In his story, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. That is his story. And in his story, sometimes he's walking with us through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You said you were at a ministry time after you had the metal knee and they were going to pray for metal to be removed. And you said, okay, if you do this, God, I'm going to be mad internally because I went through all this and now you're going to heal me.
I literally said, I swear to you, God, I swear to you, if you take the metal out of my knee today, I'm going to be so angry at you. And I was kind of joking and kind of not because I just spent thousands of dollars of my money above the insurance. And I went through all this pain. And Lord, really, like you couldn't have done this beforehand. It didn't get healed, probably with my attitude. But I was, if he had healed me, it would have been okay. But I literally was like, no way, Lord, we're not doing this. And people all around us were getting healed where they literally could not have bent over because of the metal in their back. And they're getting healed.
And that's awesome.
And it's awesome. I was celebrating, but I'm like, not today, Lord.
Not today.
Not today,
Let's
Lord.
Let's not Here do this go. Today.
Let's not do this
today.
Yeah,
I'm not ready. He'll let you get to that point.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, whatever your story is. So, you know, I just bless you to have that perspective shift, to give him your discouragement, your disappointment, your offense at what he didn't do in your story. Because you know what? It's not about you. It's about him. And how do we reposition ourselves, Lord? We just repent for any way that we've been trying to insert you in our story. And we ask, Lord, that you would actually insert us into your story. And every day we would play whichever role it is for the story of the day. And we would do it excitedly, like my daughter-in-law, who was just so thrilled when nobody else knew she was in the story.
Yeah, but she knew she was there.
She was there.
She was meant to be there. Uh-huh. That's so good. Yeah. So thank you, Donna, for being with us. And bless you all, listeners. And again, you can find Donna at donnadesilva.org, and we are Dare to Believe Ministries, dtbmn.org, and the podcasts are on all of the podcast channels. Please share them and tell your friends about us. Mm-hmm. Blessings.